Why, the only cure is bed rest. Anything I give you would only be a placebo.
Where do we get these placebos?
All right, this is Pure Decking. What the hell show number is this? 384 for Thursday, March 19th, 2020, I think. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game. And due to the quarantine, I haven't seen another human being in several days. All of my interactions have been online, and for all I know, I'm now in a simulation. I'm okay with this. I'm Morps. Tonight, we have Madman. What's up, Madman?
My quarantine will start probably Monday. It would have started tomorrow, but when it comes to two-factor authentication, it seems I'm really good at registering at my company's website, but there's an app you need to download on your phone for it to actually work, and I didn't do that. So I'm not actually doing that.
It's a good thing they're letting you come in. Some companies are just like, yeah, you're shit out of luck. You can't work. Means you're not going to get paid.
There's still people in the office, and I might just keep showing up to the office until my security badge doesn't work.
Oh, are you? What's up, are you?
Not much, man. Not really quarantined, just sort of sitting around the house doing my thing, but I have started breathing in burnt plastic fumes. I'm looking to become one of the new warriors. I'm hoping to get superpowers from inhaling plastic fumes.
You are really reading the wrong comic books.
Oh, you'll become Captain Retard Potato Boy.
And I'll still have more superpowers than the new fucking superheroes.
All right, BSV.
I can poop myself.
Oh, God.
There's a clip.
And then you fling it at your enemies.
The problem is we stepped on
feces it. Feces of justice.
We I'm not falling behind that.
Good.
Sorry.
Andrew, yo, what are you doing for your quarantine, BSV?
Not much. Just trying to stay inside. Got a couple bottles of
There you go. Well, I mean, you know, for some people this quarantine's a big deal, a big life change, you know, very different operation for them. And for others, it's Thursday. What's up? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know my lifestyle had a fucking name.
Yeah, it's called sheltering in place.
Yeah, I'm still working. It hasn't affected me much yet. Except now it's harder to get food if I don't want to cook myself.
It isn't amazing how terrified some people are. I met a gentleman yesterday who was just petrified. Like you can actually see he was terrified of what was going on. And the young shop assistant at the big supermarket chain I go to, he had a 1,000-yard stare, man. He's seen some shit in the last couple of weeks.
Oh,
he didn't sign up for, man. You know what I mean? And another shop assistant at the booze shop, I was talking to her, and she got spat on by a customer because they didn't have any face masks.
Oh, jeez.
They sell
Why
booze.
Would they have face masks?
Exactly. Exactly, right?
Okay.
Yeah, it's
if you don't have a face mask at this point, that's just a lack of creativity on your part. There's instructions online for converting women's underwear into face masks. Oh, wait, that's just Japanese cartoons. Well, there's origami. There's, you know, just getting a little bit creative with the dust cloth. Or my personal favorite, just saturating an old washcloth in vodka and strapping that around your head. I mean...
Yeah. Once the dizziness wears off, you're good.
Well, if you constantly pour an alcohol down your throat, that would disinfect any air going through as well, right?
Yep. The other thing you can do
that I'm working on.
The other thing you can do, if you're actually desperate and you want to, if you want to actually make something that might work, there's a lot of instructions out there of how to take a Coke can, a 2-liter bottle, those carbon pellets that you use for aquariums, and cotton pads, and make a gas mask. So if you're desperate, and you don't mind looking like you're wearing something from, you know, the fifth grade's arts and class setup, you know, just find you a couple of YouTube videos on making a homemade gas mask, and you're good to go.
But we're not there yet. We're not even close there.
No, but I've got some painter's masks that I might use, just because those are fun and industrial looking.
Yeah, unless you're sick, you don't need one, man. Like, let's be honest about this. The odds on us catching it are a lot of winning opportunities at this point, considering how many people have got it. Don't get caught up in the fucking fear.
No,
anybody listening to this, this is like your shit. If you're not excited about it happening, then you're listening to the wrong show.
So here's the thing. For all the good those little surgical masks and like the little painter's masks do, the little disposable ones, those don't do shit for you breathing something in. All they do is keep it from when you cough or sneeze from something getting out. So if somebody's walking around wearing a mask, that's because they are sick or they're an idiot.
And look, the best way to protect yourself, pair of sunglasses. That's it. Just wear your sunglasses while you're shopping. Come home, take everything off, put it in a plastic bag, have a shower, tie a plastic bag, put it in laundry, deal with it later. Wash hands.
There you go.
Very simple. We've been doing this for the last 7 days, where when we come home from being out in the public, first thing we do, straight into the bathroom, get changed, have a shower, close in a plastic bag, wash your hands.
I actually work with somebody who is immunocompromised. Apparently they had a bad case of I forget what it's called. Lyme disease? Is that the one you get from ticks?
Yeah.
And essentially bad reaction to it and is functionally immunocompromised, right? So we already had to clean the office and shit like this on a fairly regular basis so this person didn't come down with, you know, the common cold and, you know, everyone think that they were dying. So, you know, and then when this person does get sick, they're out for like a week and a half from a cold. You know, anything else that'll knock you on your ass for a day, this person's out for a week. And yes, I'm being vague because I don't want to identify who they are. So, but yeah, it's just like, you know, it's like, this is nothing new, guys. Come on.
So, this isn't our first pandemic.
It's really not.
This is not your first rodeo. If you're over the age of 30, this is not your first rodeo.
Well, it used to be a fairly regular thing back when we were going to, you know, Madman and I for certain, when we were going to middle school and high school, that you'd have a week every couple of years or so where there were enough kids with the flu. They just shut the schools down because there's enough kids with the flu. That was a normal thing for a long time.
Or some fucking idiot got the measles or something like that.
Oh, sure.
You know, and the mumps. Like, this stuff still exists. It's not our first time. I wish they'd stop acting like it was our first time.
Like, I have a vague memory of a school getting shut down for pink eye. So, I mean, I don't know if that's actually happened or something I read about. But, I mean, yeah.
It's probably happened. Hell, the slightest sound of a gunshot sends kids running these days.
Yeah,
fucking harden
right?
up.
It's like, what? No, somebody's just playing Duke Nukem on the computers. Come on.
We joke because we love you.
Speaking of jokes, we apologize for the lack of anything other than virus news, but at least we have some new suggestions for names, since we're not supposed to call it the China flu, because that's racist. So here, we got the Shanghai Shivers. We got the Wuhanic Panic. The Wu Ping cough, I like that one. The chinking pox. So instead of chicken pox, chinking pox, that's kind of hard to say. Flu Manchu, Flu Tang Clan, the Bamboo Burden, that's a good one. Chink Chest, Chop Sick, Mandarin Microbe, Sweet and Sour Sicken, The Boomer in Tumor. That's a good one right there. The Great Sneeze Forward, Communist Lung Herpes, The Great Whoop of China, General So's Revenge, The New Yellow Peril, and Winnie the Flu. So pick one of those. I'm sure it'll go over great, you know, when you're allowed back in the office.
Please stop calling it COVID-19. It's the woohoo flu. Fuck 'em. Bringing insensitivity back. That's what this world needs. A little glass of harden the fuck up right now. Right? If you're breaking down because of a word, I hope you get it. I genuinely do.
Well, you know,
in Minecraft,
I am, you know, growing up, I was always taught sticks and stones, you know, are what hurt you, not words. So, you know, I vividly remember my father telling me not to call people names, just to pick up a stick and beat them down with it. So you all think I'm joking. I'm actually not.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, yeah,
my dad actually did tell me just to kick the shit out of them. So.
Yeah. Yeah, deep end parenting. It doesn't happen anymore, does it?
It really doesn't.
That was some good shit. Hey, you ever cut down a tree with a chainsaw, Billy? No? Oh, here's the chainsaw. There's a tree. Let me know if you've got any problems. Like, what the fuck am I doing? Yeah. Deep water parenting. It's better.
Makes
kids resilient.
Screw it.
That reminds me of how I learned to swim.
How long did your dad let you flounder around, go under before he pulled you up? Mine waited until I was really coughing.
Oh, I learned to swim. No, that's how I learned to swim.
No, the first time, really coughing. After that, yeah, you figure it out.
Did you have my brother?
There wasn't a second time because I learned to swim.
No.
My father was hard ass.
No, but I had an uncle who was holding me down the first time I tried to swim, so that probably made it harder than it should have been.
Okay. I just got tossed in a lake. Like, oh, I can swim now. This isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. My dad's an asshole.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, speaking of interesting things, how's your gas price, guys?
Low. How's that actually?
There's a gas station in my state that's already dropped to 99 cents a gallon. I'm waiting for it to come into my town.
Nice.
I like that. The minute everyone's locked down, gas prices bottom. You know what I mean? Can't go anywhere. Fucking gas is near free.
Yeah, I saw a $1.99.
I need to invest in a 55-gallon drum.
Yeah, let's hope this oil war goes on for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I'd like to know where the bottom of it is so you can start buying some stocks, you know?
Yeah. I reckon buy now, but I'm not a stock market guy.
Yeah, I mean, if you can kind of guess at where the bottom is, though, you can make bank.
Because look, we're back at the beginning. I think it's just been a reset. They've looked at it and everything's overvalued. Might as well dump it now while we can.
Well, especially when nobody's paying attention to any news other than, you know, woohoo flu.
Yeah.
So.
Actually, if you can find out what stocks the U.S. Senate are trading in, get onto them.
Oh, that would be fantastic if you could somehow track
man.
That.
Exactly.
I'd like a Freedom of Information Act request and a real-time feed.
You want to be the next fucking Wozniak or whatever? Invent that app that tracks the stock trades.
Oh, no,
US
the app
Senate.
Would be easy to invent. It's getting access to the data that'd be a bitch.
Well, that's what I mean. Find a way to do that and do it in real time.
You need to get agreements with the various trading companies. And
watch how long before a three-letter acronym comes knocking on your door with a cease and desist fucking notice.
Sir, we've noticed you're making too much money, and we think it's unfair.
You're embarrassing our handlers. Please stop doing that.
No, you misunderstand. I'm not trading on those stocks. I'm selling that feed. So,
for a dollar a day, you too can follow your senator's trades.
Dollar nothing. That thing's worth at least $100 a day.
Just dollar a day, man. I reckon you get enough people.
Not enough people trade the stock market, I think.
Oh, I think you seriously underestimate the amount of day traders that are out there now.
You know, I might.
Yeah, I think you do. Go spend a bit of time on business on Chan.
I mean, I keep thinking it's something to get into, but, you know, then I blow my money on booze and, you know, 3D printers. So
I, at this point, 3D printers and booze are probably better investment than the stock market.
Well, the booze, certainly.
Yeah, the booze.
Oh, man, I've got one printer I'm working on that I've completely got it rebuilt. Hardware's all good to go. But because this thing's basically a Frankenstein at this point, I've got to do the firmware from scratch, which means I have to manually tune everything on this printer.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, it's going to take a bit.
Nope. do some news.
Cycros has a link. Well, we will as soon as I look at this. Cycros has a link for a trading bot for Bitcoin because, I mean, Bitcoin's basically dropped down to it's like worth $5,000 a coin now or something like that.
Look it up real quick.
Rise Crypto, Bitcoin investing on autopilot, automated active management tailored to you. Well, it's very, very marketing friendly.
Yeah, it's $5,000, something around there, because it's $10,000 for me, $5,000 for you, because our Australian dollar slipped quite a lot yesterday.
Hang on, I can look. Because that little bit I left in Coinbase shot up, and then now it's back down to, it's back up to $100. So it's $6,000 at the moment. So
yeah, we're at 59 cents, the US dollar.
For right anyone now. Who wants to do the math on that one, you can figure out how much Bitcoin I'm currently holding on to. Anyways, because I care so much. Actually, the joke's on you. I've got that split out between a handful of cryptos. So, you know. Anyways, yeah, I'll look at that later. That looks like fun. Totally free. Well, that's if it's free, that's curious. Actually, is it a cloud platform? Is it yours? Is it just telling you what to do? You got to run a local bot or something? Because if it's completely free, how are they working? Ah, developing it, then they'll sell it when it works. Eh, okay. Well. Gotcha. So, yeah, let's move on to this first article here. This is from NBCNews.com. The U.S. wants smartphone location data to fight coronavirus. Privacy advocates are worried. So let's see. The White House and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are asking Facebook, Google, and other tech giants to give them greater access to Americans' smartphone location data in order to help them combat the spread of the coronavirus, according to four people at companies involved in the discussions who are not authorized to speak about them publicly. Wait a minute. According to four people at companies involved who are not authorized... Think somebody broke rules one and two there. Federal health officials say they could use anonymous... Okay, you know what? I'm going to stop right here for a second. I am fucking sick and tired of anonymous sources say. Because it means that this story is fun and is... you know, as fun as it is to talk about and as, you know, all dystopian and cyberpunk it is and as much as it'll play to the narrative, because it's according to four anonymous people.
If true, this could be a bombshell.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so sick of that shit. Isn't there supposed to be journalistic standards where, like, you don't use anonymous sources?
I think Obama said you don't need them anymore.
Shit up? Or the author
you use them to track down something, but you get somebody on the record before you publish it.
Right.
And on occasion, if you have banked up a lot of credibility, which I don't think we got a lot of news organizations with banked credibility, that might let a story come out with anonymous sources. But generally, when you get the anonymous source, you take that information and then you try to get somebody on the record to speak. You'll be like, I've heard this. Want to comment?
Yeah. Federal health officials say they could use anonymous aggregated user data collected by tech companies to map the spread of the virus, a practice known as syndromic surveillance, and prevent further infections. Well, what are you going to do, send around the party van to round up people you suspect is infected? They could also use the data to see whether people were practicing social distancing. So, yeah, so here's your social credit score. Are you practicing social distancing? Your phone says otherwise. Some sources stress that the effort would be anonymized and that the government would not have access to specific individuals' locations. They noted that users would be required to opt in to the effort, in which case it's useless, because not enough people are going to opt into it or care. The federal effort, first reported by the Washington Post, will force the tech giants to weigh their commitments to user privacy against their desire to help combat a disease that has cost thousands of human lives and upended a global economy. Thousands? Are we up to thousands on the Wuhan flu?
They're quoting thousands in worldwide.
Okay. No, I'm asking, because they're talking about the global economy.
Yeah, I think there'd be thousands worldwide, yeah.
Okay.
But when you take that into account that there's billions of us, that's not really a reason to give up your autonomy.
Well, there's kind of some estimates in the U.S. Mm-hmm. that we're up to thousands because not everyone's being tested. And most people that get the Wuhan flu, it's a mild cold for most age groups.
Yeah.
It's the old people and the immunocompromised that have big issues. It's just very contagious.
Well, it was just the last time I saw a number, and they were probably talking about the U.S., I thought it was like less than 100. So, in my mind, that was a bit of a jump. But if they're talking global, okay.
Well, in the U.S., it's still officially less than 1,000.
Yeah. So, anyways, let's see. The government officials have held at least two calls in recent days with representatives from the companies, the sources said. Those officials are, quote, very serious, unquote, about making this happen, a person at one of the tech companies said. Similar and more aggressive surveillance practices have already been put to use in China, South Korea, and Israel. The moves have set off alarm bells among privacy advocates who fear that the government may do with users' data. Facebook already provides health research and non-governmental organizations in some countries with anonymized data to help disease prevention efforts. Laura McGorman, a policy lead in Facebook's Data for Good program, there's a
wow, business when you
card.
Actually have to go, no, we're calling it data for good because we only do good things. Yeah. When you've got, like, we're good in your title, I don't trust you.
So Psychros and the IRC said we just topped 100 deaths in the U.S. as of yesterday. So
congratulations.
To be fair, I haven't been following the news all that super closely, so program said a similar effort could be used to help understand and combat the spread of the virus. Other sources warn that providing the government with greater access to anonymized location data now could lead to the erosion of individual privacy down the line, especially if the government starts to ask for non-anonymized data. Well, we've already proven multiple times over that anonymized data usually isn't all that well anonymized, so representatives from Facebook, Google, Twitter, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, IBM, and Cisco all took part in the call with White House and federal health officials. Spokespeople for the companies declined to comment on the discussions. So, again, this is all anonymous sources, people within the company who are not authorized to publicly comment. It could be real. It could absolutely be real. And it does seem like it would fit with other things we've heard people talking about. It could be, what's this guy's name? Dylan Breyer's making shit up. I don't know.
If true, this is a bombshell.
Yeah, there you go. So, here we go. Psychros says the CDC site, we've got 442 cases in the U.S. and 150 total deaths. So,
oh, that's 10,000.
What did I say?
10,000, but it's 10,442.
Okay, thank you. Yes, 10,000.
And we have a population of, I believe, 320 million, somewhere between 320 and 360. So,
I mean, it sucks. You don't want anybody to die. I mean, okay, a handful of people, but, they deserve it.
Yourself. Fucking, you don't talk for me, motherfucker. You don't know what my intent is. How dare you think I'm a nice person?
I was speaking for myself. And metaphorically.
But at the end of the day, man, I don't trust Facebook, Twitter, or any of them. Why do they get to dictate public policy? You know, I don't want those companies making... I don't want them making public policy, though.
They're not making public policy. The government is. The government is asking them for their information.
Yeah. It's stupid. Don't misunderstand. Dude, You're right. I mean...
Okay, when we separated church and state, that was a good thing. We need to separate state and tech now. That needs to be the new crusade. Separate state and tech. I don't want fucking Jack Dorsey talking to fucking federal lawmakers. You know, this is bullshit. If the Pope can't fucking talk to federal lawmakers, then Jack Dorsey shouldn't be able to either.
Well, since some people worship at the altar of their social media accounts more than they do at church, you might be right.
Well, dude, maybe we need to look at separating fucking state and tech. Because this shit is getting intrusive.
I would suggest using a different example. We do have an ambassador to the Vatican.
All right, man. This is what... Yeah. I was trying to make a condom whole joke pregnancy thing, but it just didn't work in my head. But yeah, so I know that there is talks between people, but I don't want it. You know, you don't ever see headline fucking ambassador from Rome, you know, talks public policy about God. I don't want Facebook fucking anywhere near it.
I think that's a fair statement.
Why aren't they consulting with Hollywood then?
Hollywood doesn't have the information they want.
Well, either they.
I don't know. Google tracks where my phone is.
Yeah, but that.
I'm not saying that I want Google to track, but Google's tracking, and the government wants to know. Are there people gathering together in groups of more than 10? Are people staying at home when they're not at work?
But Google don't know fucking shit if I don't take my fucking phone with me.
Well, that's the thing. Most people don't, most people don't know what to do if they don't have their phone with you. In fact, in most social situations nowadays, you don't need a phone because so everyone else has theirs. So if you don't know something, you just say, hey, somebody look up real quick, and somebody will whip out their phone and do it. Usually somebody who's wanting to show off their new phone.
I need to get an argument about separating church, some state, and from tech, so I can flesh out some of my ideas. Because I can see some have some very big holes in them, which Madman is quite happy to stick his finger in.
Well, I'll feel free to argue with you about it.
Yeah, I really do.
I'll be the pro tech side.
Yeah, I'd love to do it, man, because I've got some arguments for it, and I wonder if there's any holes in it. So when I go spouting on a drunken rant at a party, separate fucking tech and state, I won't look like a dick because I've already had the argument.
Well, I guess the question would be how are tech companies significantly different from other large lobbying companies, like automotive or bank, right? Automotive companies got a lot of data about you, especially if they're tracking your car, especially modern cars.
The bank certainly knows what
you do.
The big difference is the automotive company, unless you have one of the my car can drive or park for me, your automotive company doesn't know where you are.
Unless you have OnStar or, have bought your car from Uncle Elon.
Yeah. Not everybody has that level of tech yet in their vehicle. So, yeah, I get not talking to the motive industry.
Your bank knows where you spend your money. They know exactly everything you're doing.
Oh, yeah, they know where I spent my money.
They also have much stricter laws and guidelines about that kind of stuff, though.
But if you're paying cash, they don't know what you fucking did.
That's true. And if you don't carry your phone, Google doesn't know what you're doing.
Exactly.
So it's avoidable. It's just that most people don't, which is why they're talking to them. Is it preying on the ignorant? Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean,
taking advantage of the stupid.
Yeah, but we all do that. I mean, I take advantage of stupid people around me all the time, don't you guys?
Human nature, like to try and get one over, but try not to take advantage of the weak-willed.
Are you? You want a copy of Snowden's book?
I think I have a copy. Currently reading the Unabomber's Manifesto right now.
That's a good read.
It is very good. It's fucking, he's right.
I don't know that you need to go mailing bombs to people, but it's an interesting concept.
But Jesus Christ, he was onto something. I mean, if that's what they, if that's what Berkeley LSD studies do to you, I need to take that study. You know,
have you checked out any of the LSD overdose studies?
No, I haven't gone down the LSD hole.
They're thinking they could treat chronic pain with overdosing you on LSD.
Maybe I should look into that.
What's it? It max out the brain so it causes a reset or something?
They don't know how it works.
That's even better.
But it seems some people have accidentally taken 10 times the recommended dosage of LSD. And one of them had chronic pain that was being treated with opioids. After she stopped vomiting and stopped tripping balls, the pain went away and her craving for opioids went away. So it took out both the addiction and the pain.
I don't know. Overdosing on something like LSD seems like how you get like superpowers.
So, yeah.
For like 5 minutes before you die.
I'm not saying there won't be risks.
Maybe that's PCP, hell, there
could be permanent tripping involved in this. But she was fine.
And now she can taste color. You know, that's how you get synesthesia.
She's suffering from Merlin syndrome. You know, time's going backwards for her. But, you know, she seems normal to us, so it's fine.
Yeah, since all the people in the study, it's people that have self-medicated, so they want to do some clinical trials, but it has opened up the idea for chronic pain treatments.
Interesting.
Proof that there is no drug that can't be used for a medical purpose. We just might not know what that medical purpose is when we develop the drug.
Or how to use it for that.
Well, there's big research being done with MDMA and post-traumatic stress.
So what's the medical use for bath salts?
Anything in Florida. Cures anything in Florida.
Appetite or lack of appetite.
They don't sell like fucking Tylenol PM or anything. They sell bath salts. You know, got a headache? Bath salts.
Now I'm thinking of the McAfee video where he had cookie boxes and taped over the labels and then wrote bath salts on them. Let's move on. Bath salts to be used for judicial execution. Yeah, but you're misunderstanding the usage. They're going to put the prisoner in the middle of an arena, dope up 4 other prisoners with the bath salts.
No, we're going to put all of the death row inmates on bath salts and put them in the arena. Somebody that's scheduled for an execution is going to be eaten.
And we're going to televise it and make a mint. Yeah.
What's sad is people would pay for pay-per-view that.
Yes, they would. We could probably pay-per-view prison fights if we could get the cameras in there. Okay, let's move on to this. This next one up is from the Sophos blog, Naked Security. It's actually referring to a story that's all over the place right now, though. Especially on my normal news sources, people are spamming the crap out of this because they want to get attention to it. I think the EFF has a big article on it, too. Excuse me. While we're all distracted by stockpiling latex gloves and toilet paper, there's a bill tiptoeing through the U.S. Congress that could inflict the backdoor virus that law enforcement agencies have been trying to inflict on everyone for years, or on encryption for years. At least that's the interpretation of digital rights advocates who say that the proposed EARN IT Act could harm free speech and data privacy. Sophos is in that camp. For years, Naked Security and Sophos have, you know, hashtag no back doors, agreeing with the Information Technology Industry Council that weakening security with the aim of advancing security simply does not make sense. And I'm in that camp as well. You make back doors to encryption, you're guaranteeing that somebody other than your intended target is going to find them. The first public hearing on the proposed legislation took place on Wednesday. and they've got a link to the testimony, called the Eliminating Abusive and Rampant Neglect of Interactive Technologies Act. The bill would require... Don't you love these reverse acronyms that people come up with? It's like some intern had to sit there for hours coming up with that one. The bill would require technology or tech companies to meet safety requirements for children online before obtaining immunity from lawsuits. To kill that immunity, the bill would undercut Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act for certain apps and companies so that they could be held responsible for user-uploaded content. Section 230, considered the most important law protecting free speech online, states that websites aren't liable for user-submitted content. The EFF frames the importance of Section 230. Here's the quote. Section 230 enforces the common sense principle that if you say something illegal online, you should be the one held responsible, not the website or platform where you said it, with some important exceptions. Let's see. Earn It is a bipartisan effort having been introduced by Republican Lindsey Graham, Democrat Richard Blumenthal, and other legislators who have used the specter of online child exploitation to... child exportation is a different problem, to argue for the weakening of encryption. Comes as no surprise, since December 2019, while growing Facebook and Apple, Graham and other senators threatened to regulate encryption unless companies give law enforcement access to encrypted user data, pointing to child abuse as one reason. What Graham threatened at the time, you're going to find a way to do this, or we're going to do it for you. We're not going to live in a world where a bunch of child abusers have a safe haven to practice their craft. End of discussion. You guys have so missed the point. It only works because there aren't backdoors in it. I'm going to break away from... I'm not going to finish the rest of the story. It's obvious where it's going here. Basically, this bill needs to die because they're killing the provision that protects websites from being sued because one of their users posted something. The technology only works because there are not backdoors. Fuck, I had to explain SSL certificates to somebody at work today. Somebody who should have known better, too. But look, if you start allowing backdoors, you either have to extraordinarily complicate the data flow and the key management of everything online, or you have to basically weaken encryption and create a backdoor key. Now, if you create a backdoor key, the risk is somebody else is going to find that key, and then you're going to have basically the DVD decryption debacle of a couple of decades ago at this point, that when GeoHot cracked DVD, and like they were trying to say this string of numbers is illegal, and it's a string of numbers because it's the decryption key. Yeah, you're done, right? As soon as somebody finds that key, you're done. It's out. No, nothing is secure. The second problem is if you go the other method of greatly complicating the path of key management and data flow so that all data gets a copy of it uploaded somewhere and all keys have a duplicate somewhere so that the government, police, law enforcement, whoever can review all communications at will online, you've now added so much extra complexity that, one, there's a lot of services that just flat out won't work with that extra layer of complexity because... things like TeamSpeak and Discord. You would need a backdoor audio channel to the government services at all times, period. SSL, the thing that makes it so that you can, buy things on Amazon or other websites or even just log into them without somebody in the Wi-Fi, somebody else on the same network sniffing your password. All of that traffic would theoretically have to flow through a third party, and the key would have to be available to a third party, meaning that now you've got all these extra targets and all these extra places for it to break. You would effectively make it impossible to trust any transaction online. VPNs would be illegal under this, depending on how far they take it in enforcement. VPNs would be illegal. I don't know. There's too much basic technology that relies on the lack of backdoors for any level of trust on these transactions.
But how big of a haystack are you going to be making for anyone to sort through to find the offending post that you want to track someone down on?
That haystack, it would be massive. And I have no doubt that there will be contractors lined up to have a search solution ready for that haystack. I'm not worried about the haystack. And, you know, it'd be worth buying stock in hard drive manufacturers and people who sell network attached storage, because the amount of it they're going to need is going to be ridiculous. But that's not what scares me. And I know the bill doesn't say all this, but it implies a lot of it. What bothers me is that so much of that basic technology stack is based on it working the way it does now, that you would functionally make it impossible to operate a modern IT infrastructure, period. It would be so expensive that you're looking at a massive increase in cost of ISP operations. Most websites would not allow user-posted content, which is arguably the most successful websites out there. YouTube, Facebook, Google, it's all user-created content. I mean, seriously, Google doesn't have any of their own content. They literally have nothing of their own. It's all other people's content, and they just index it. Yeah, this they don't because you've got a couple of people who have decided that, you know, child abusers can hide online, that they're going to destroy the internet. It will not work with the backdoors they want. Nothing will. I mean, certain protocols, email, never trust email, because it's not properly set up on the internet as it is today. This is why spam is a problem. This is why phishing is a problem. This is why spoofing is a problem. You know, modern VPNs don't have some of these problems. I mean, you have other problems, but that's just this kind of backdoor access functionally makes it impossible to operate any kind of an IT infrastructure.
And just kind of the idea of, if they could put it in place, wouldn't that also freeze the development of the internet? I mean, think of how much it's changed since we first hopped on it.
Yes.
Once it starts, if they were to get this functional, there wouldn't be a change from that, because the liability of doing anything would far outweigh the initial
benefit of it. There would be no point. The only people that would be online would be things like television studios and other people who create traditional content, posting it online and making it available through subscription services, and you'd always be concerned that one of those subscription services was going to get popped and you'd lose your credit card details. So you would basically see the end of a lot of this digital media. Plus, on top of all of that, it's sort of like trying to ban guns. If you go in and say you can't have encryption that doesn't have back doors, okay, well, all of that exists today, so people would just archive a lot of the existing encryption and use it anyways. So now you'd have all these different services that don't respect the backdoor laws. They'd get raided, and of course, you know, you'd get them shut down every once in a while, but, you know, you'd have shit like the Pirate Bay showing up, but instead for networking services. For I mean, you've already got Tor, for God's sake. This you would functionally do nothing. It's like DRM. You would do nothing to stop the people who are actually breaking the law, and in their example, you know, abusing kids and trading kiddie porn online, because that's the example they always go to. You would do nothing to stop that. You'd get the stupid ones, sure, but they're probably going to get caught anyways. So, whatever. But you wouldn't stop, you know, things like Tor exist. You know, you already have TrueCrypt. Well, it's not TrueCrypt anymore. It's VeraCrypt now. But you already have all these, you know, all of the encryption libraries, all the open source stuff is out there already. I mean, okay, you'll never get rid of it. So what? It'll become raiding anybody who uses encryption that doesn't have a backdoor? I mean, come on. It's so not even practical that. But of course, they're framing it as protecting children, so, you know, it'll It's hard to oppose this without looking like you're trying to protect child predators. It's like, no, it's because the technology does. This is by people who do not understand the technology. And that quote of, oh, you'll find a way to make it work the way we want, or we're going to order you to do it. It just shows a fundamental lacking of how lack of understanding of how this works. The government can encourage technology and invention to move in a certain direction. But if something's functionally not possible at a basic level, like, you know, if the government passed a law that everyone had to breathe water an hour a day, you just killed everybody. Congratulations. There's no way to do it. It's like, well, if your company doesn't come up with a way to do it, we're going to shut you down. Shut them down then, because you've just outlawed them with a ridiculous requirement. And it just shows a fundamental lack of understanding of how this shit works.
I want them to mandate transporter technology. I would love to be able to instantaneously travel to any place on the planet.
Good luck. Let me know when you get that. It'll be never, because not only would that kind of a mandate, you know, snuff out any company that's, you know, working towards anything vaguely related to it because they can't deliver it today, you would ensure it would never get delivered because nobody could ever work on it.
Oh, just because they're going to fail now doesn't mean they'll always fail, right?
But you can't provide that service today, so you can't operate. That's it. They want the end product before you have a chance to build it. But in this instance, encryption doesn't work that way. You're trying to argue a fundamental tenet of how those algorithms work. It's math. And I'm sorry that it's math, but it is math.
Math is hard.
Math is hard. This is why we built computers. Do I trust the calculator to do it right for me? Hell yes, I do, because math is hard. But, you know, it doesn't change the fact that I don't have another way to do what they're asking. They want a perfect backdoor into everything. It's like, while you're at it, why don't you set up a camera in every room in every house, monitor every, you know what, just, you know, 24-hour cop, you know, just have a police officer escorting every citizen. Solve the unemployment problem while you're at it, for fuck's sake.
At least that part's doable.
Nah, we just need to install cameras into everybody's eyes.
No, I've seen that movie. I've seen both of those movies. It does not end well.
That's my point.
I just like you to stop giving him ideas. Thank you.
Just stop mandating unicorns, for fuck's sake. That's what I want. I don't want them to mandate a fucking unicorn. Or fucking unicorns, because one, that's weird, and two, they don't exist. So moving on. Next article is from ZDNet. I don't know that I need to read this thing. Firefox is removing support for FTP.
Okay.
Does anybody care?
Why are they getting rid of it?
It's just depreciated. Mozilla has announced plans today to remove support for the FTP protocol from Firefox. Going forward, users won't be able to download files via the FTP protocol and view the contents of FTP folders and links. We're doing this for security reasons, said Michael Navanti, a software engineer at the Mozilla Corporation, the company behind Firefox. FTP is an insecure protocol, and there's no reason to prefer it over HTTPS for downloading resources, he said. Also, a part of the FTP code is very old, unsafe, and hard to maintain, and we found a lot of security bugs using it in the past. Novate said that Mozilla plans to disable support for the FTP protocol with the release of Firefox 77, scheduled for release in June of this year. Users will still be able to view and download files via FTP, but they'll have to re-enable FTP support via a preference page inside the About Config page. Novate said that Mozilla will eventually remove the entire code that supports FTP inside of Firefox in the end. This is scheduled for the start of 2021. He said, I'm going to stop saying this guy's name because I'm not saying it right and I don't know how to say it right. He said there will be no workaround for re-enabling FTP and Firefox will stop handling FTP content altogether. Google Chrome already took this decision last year. Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of new FTP servers in a while. That used to be the thing, was, you know, you do FTP for your file servers, and then, you know, your web pages are on HTTP. But, I mean, it sounds like a big deal, but it's really not, and there are dedicated FTP clients that are a lot better than just using the browser, so...
That does just stand for file transfer protocol, right?
Yes, it does. It's very old and very original, and
you know, how will I transfer files if the file transfer protocol doesn't exist anymore?
Well, just HTTP instead of FTP. It's just an old protocol.
I just like using the name.
I get what you're saying, man.
Stupid joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, I've been ranting, so I didn't quite catch it, but that's fine. I got it. Stream ship from Vizdrive via Kodi over Pro FTP. There are better ways to do that. Cycros is talking about in the IRC that he's got somebody bugging him to asking him to help him set up a GUI to configure Pro FTPD. It's there used to be a GUI you could throw on Linux servers that would configure some of that stuff for you through a web browser, and I am so blanking on the name. Linux Control Panel, I want to say. But doesn't matter. But there's better ways to do that than just raw FTP anymore. I'm struggling. At first, it's like, what? Firefox can't do that. But then it's like, wait a minute. I'm struggling to try to think of a legitimate use of FTP in this day and age. You know, that used to be the thing, was to run a big FTP server with all these different files on it and things like that. But, you know, even then, today I wouldn't bother with an FTP server. I'd set up an SFTP server and use SSH keys. I still see a lot of people doing that. But I'm struggling to try to think of a legitimate use for FTP anymore. Part of the problem is that it's not secure. It's plain text. But it also encourages you to, you know, log into a server to upload things. So I'm not... you know, there are dedicated FTP clients if you really need to use FTP anyways.
It's just a dated protocol that's dying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It
used to be great back in the day, though.
Well, so was the Model T.
Yeah, but
any color you wanted, so long it was black.
Yeah, but in the Model T, you didn't upload your swap file and then download NES ROMs.
Yeah.
To get around
that. No, and you didn't also get the entire first season of Heroes.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's a song about that, now that I think about it. That's a long time ago. Anyways, let's move on to this next article. Or you sent me this one. It's a little bit more woohoo flu news for you. Netflix just cut streaming quality in Europe for 30 days. What? You're quarantined? Yeah, fuck you.
Well, you paid for that 4K high definition fucking streaming service? Yeah, here's 720p, faggot. Good luck.
Netflix will reduce the video quality on its service in Europe for the next 30 days to reduce the strain on internet service providers. There was another article, just because I didn't grab it because I was really tired of all these woohoo flu articles. And by the way, if you run a tech company, I really don't need yet another email from your company telling me how they're supporting us through the COVID-19. And, you know, for fuck's sake, if you're not announcing something, I don't need an email letting me know that you're still around.
Have you noticed all the LGBT shit's fucking just dried out? All that fucking faggot shit's just gone.
It would require paying enough attention to it to notice it, but...
I read a lot of news all day, every day. I mean, dude, I haven't seen a gay rights story. Everything's fucking, we're all gonna die. You know, and how dare you call it the fucking woohoo flu. That's it.
Well, from now on, we're calling it the... let me look back at this list. From now on, we're calling it the Boomer and Tumor, because that's just awesome. So,
not doing Winnie the Flu?
Well, we could do Winnie the Flu. That's a good one, too.
You get stuck in your house.
Oh, bother. Demand for streaming has increased in large parts of Europe, because large parts of Europe are self-isolating at home due to the Winnie the Flu outbreak. I am now substituting various names from this list into the stories because I'm just tired of it. The video streaming provider said lowering the picture quality would reduce Netflix data consumption by 25%, but said viewers would still find the picture quality good. Not if you've got one of those high-end Android boxes hooked up to a 4K TV or like an Apple TV or something. The change appears to include the UK, but Netflix has not responded to the BBC's request for confirmation of this. The company will cut its streaming bit rates, which influence how clear and smooth the videos look when streamed online. Videos with a higher bit rate tend to look less blocky or pixelated, but use more data. The announcement came after a phone call with European officials. Thierry Breton, the European Commissioner for the Internal Market, had earlier said people should switch to standard definition when HD is not necessary. For fuck's sake. Ration your bitrate, people.
It's never necessary. It's just better.
But you're already watching Netflix. You can argue that watching Netflix at all is not necessary. The article I skipped out on because I was tired of woohoo flu stories was that the Pentagon has got so much network strain from people remoting into it and people working from home that they're blocking all video streaming sites, YouTube, Vimeo, Netflix, all of it, and only allowing audio streaming where, it's necessary for the, job to be performed. I don't know how you define that because I can't think of a job where Spotify is necessary, but maybe that's just a lack of imagination on my part right now. So, but yeah,
have they been Pornhub?
Audio conferencing rather than video conferencing.
I've got the Pornhub story next. Don't worry.
Of course. Wouldn't be a catastrophe without Pornhub.
That's right. I mean, nothing really brings the humanity and the terror of social distancing home like Pornhub.
God, I heard there's social distancing porn. All right, we're looking that up.
How would that work?
I don't know, but I'm not looking through Google.
I'm afraid a broom handle and a fleshlight would be involved. Anyways.
Oh, teledildonics.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure big brother something when you need like him. That would...
Oh, sorry, BSV.
I know I've heard there's porn with face masks and all that for the woohoo flu. People are odd.
We need somebody with no shame and no concern about their browser history. Hey, Madman, can you go on to Pornhub and search for woohoo flu and just see what comes up?
One moment.
An hour of standard definition video uses about 1 gigabyte of data, while HD video can use up to 3 gigabytes an hour. Netflix also offers ultra-high-definition 4K video for some of its programs. Netflix's decision to reduce its video bitrate by a quarter appears to be a compromise. Oh, so the EU told them to do this shit. Following the discussion between the Commissioner Thierry Breton and Netflix chief executive Reed Hastings, and given the extraordinary challenges raised by the boomer and tumor, Netflix has decided to begin reducing bitrates across all of our streams in Europe for 30 days, the company said. Commissioner Britton praised the very prompt action Netflix took just hours after the phone call, saying it would preserve the smooth functioning of internet during the chop-sick crisis. Netflix has not yet said whether the bitrate reduction will be applied to other areas such as North America. Internet usage has been heightened in the past few weeks as more people work from home to avoid going out. Telecoms giant Vodafone reported a 50% rise in internet usage in Europe earlier this week. Facebook chief executive Mark Zuckerberg said on Wednesday that the platform was seeing big surges as users tried to stay connected with friends. Social media boss said the company typically saw its largest surge in use on New Year's Eve, but that recent demand has outpaced that.
All I know, they cut the rate by 25% here. I want a 25% discount.
Right? So, anyways, I just, I mean, come on. All right, let's do the Pornhub story because, Madman found Pornhub videos. He's posting links to them as opposed to telling us what they are, though.
We're not going to click on those, Madman.
Well, I can't because the audio will pipe out to the stream and that might not end well. Yeah, the way my mixing's set up, the way my audio is routed and set up, anything I play is going to go to the stream. So if I click that link...
It's you not might, porn, but it's on Pornhub.
You all might under social hear, distancing. Might not, you all might not hear it on TeamSpeak because that control that. But the stream will hear it because it grabs the final mix off the mixer. It's the same thing going on my headphones. So that might be awkward for everyone involved. Especially if it's a random link Madman sent me. It's like God knows what it's going to be.
I would say that it's not porn. But I think somewhere some dude could fap to it. Well, but no normal person would. And it's actually G-rated.
I don't know, man.
But it's on Pornhub.
This is the internet. I'm sure there's like five or six guys in 4chan who just said challenge accepted. So, anyways, let's do the Pornhub story. This is from Indie100.com. Pornhub makes its premium content free for everyone on coronavirus lockdown in Italy. Because of
just
course.
Italy?
Italians who... Well, see, Madman, you can use a VPN and look like you're coming from Italy. Oh,
okay, there, was double, you,
there was a double entendre there and I didn't even realize it.
Buongiorno.
Just, you know, use a VPN... And then act like Peter Griffin did when he was impersonating an Italian person, and you'll be fine.
That speaks some Italian. Boopie? Arifa Dirci Van Giorno.
Beepity boppity boopy. Boopity boppity beepy.
Well, if you're looking at Pornhub, that might be exactly what you're saying anyway. Italians who have been forced into lockdown because of the outbreak of the coronavirus. Oh, wait, I forgot to substitute. Because of the Mandarin microbe. Will be able to access Pornhub's premium content for free while they are locked up inside. Warning, some of the contents in this article might be not safe for work. Okay, if you were listening to this stream and you're at work, I applaud your bravery. You're also a fool. this whole stream is not safe for work. If you're a child and you're listening to this, where are your parents? The adult streaming site has made all of its content on its premium subscription service free in Italy for the month of March, with the site also announcing that they will be donating money to Italy as it attempts to overcome the pandemic. The company, which started in Canada in 2007, has... And we're back. The company, which was started in Canada in 2007, has an daily average of 92 million visitors per day, so you can imagine that with lots of people unable to leave the house, those figures might have started to climb. This comes just a few days after it was discovered there's actually a, quote, coronavirus, quote, porn on Pornhub and other porn streaming sites featuring performers having sex in hazmat suits. And if you've cut a hole in the hazmat suit, is it really still a hazmat suit? Or is it really? Or at that point, is it just a full body condom? I mean,
dude, is the biggest oxymoron in the world fucking a prostitute in a hazmat suit? Fucking.
Well, you have
to seal it in,
protective.
Seal it in for that extra flavor. Come on.
God.
Yeah, I think at that point it's just a full body condom, isn't it?
I don't. Rocket snail.
Rocket.
I have nothing.
All right, moving on. This last article, because we had to have something that wasn't Woohoo Flu, is from The Telegraph in 2014. So, future biotechnology could be used to trick prisoners' minds into thinking they have served a 1,000-year sentence, a group of scientists have claimed. This is some Ghost in the Shell shit right here. It's like, oh,
it is. It's some scary shit.
Philosopher Rebecca Roche is in charge of a team of scholars focused on the ways futuristic technologies might transform punishment. Dr. Roche claims that the prison sentence of serious criminals could be made worse by extending their lives. That statement alone, right there. We're going to cut your head off and put it in a jar and put you in prison. You'll live for 500 years in prison in a jar.
A big deterrent.
Oh,
a big deterrent.
That is a big deterrent. It's like, you know what? I'll just take hell. That's fine. hell seems better than this.
Yeah.
Speaking to Aeon magazine, Dr. Roach said that drugs could be developed to distort prisoners' minds into thinking time was passing more slowly.
Oh, God, you're going to get them high all day on weed.
There's a number of psychoactive drugs that distort people's sense of time, so you could imagine developing a pill or liquid that made someone feel like they were serving a 1,000-year sentence, she said. A second scenario would be to upload human minds to computers to speed up the rate at which the mind works, she wrote on her blog. Oh my God! We're going to upload your brain to a computer, give your body to a worthy charity, and just torture you in VR.
God. I like the show Altered Carbon. I don't want to quite be put into effect for prison.
Well, Sue, if it's all virtual, I mean, think of the horrors you could inflict on somebody when, you know, you don't have to worry about them surviving.
Oh, we killed him. Reset. Hi again.
It's like a video game. You just respawn. Actually, in this case, it would be a video game. You're one of the monsters in Doom. Congratulations. You're going to get torn apart by random 12-year-olds on the internet from now to the end of time.
Your prison sentence is to be NPCs in video games.
There's a movie like that.
Wow, that would be fucked up. Like, you go in an MMO... And you're like, you're just abusing the NPCs because they deserve it, rather than because they're NPCs. Let's see. If the speed up were a factor of a million, a millennium of thinking would be accomplished in 8.5 hours. Uploading the mind of a convicted criminal and running it in a million times faster than normal would enable the uploaded criminal to serve a 1,000-year sentence in 8.5 hours. This would obviously be much cheaper for the taxpayer than extending criminals' lifespans to enable them to serve actual 1,000 years in real time. 30 years in prison is currently the most severe punishment available in the UK legal system. UK doesn't have life?
Nah, either do we.
Oh, damn.
Well, it gives you a reason to behave, man.
Chance like, of
if
getting
you,
out.
If you got
call.
If you got no chance ever to get out, why not just stab your fucking roommate?
Well, yeah,
why not
that
stab
happens
a guard?
In our prison, so.
Yeah, I mean, this is why if I'm going to be incarcerated, I'd rather be incarcerated under the crown than in an American prison, because at least I know I have a chance of relief of getting out. I mean, double life plus 60 years is fucking horseshit.
It just means like, you're not getting out and you're not getting parole ever.
That just means I just stop murdering niggas.
Double life plus 60 years does not mean life without parole. For life without parole, it has to actually have to say without parole in the sentence.
Yeah, but if you get life without parole, man, there's no incentive to behave.
In that case,
that's
they're occasionally
you,
bringing
that's
you up
you
on parole
Supermax.
To not let you out and kind of give you hope.
Yeah.
It's why you guys have those Supermaxes, where you have the dude sitting in a 6x3 cell for fucking 23 hours a day. It's because you've given them no fucking chance. You'd rather get death penalty.
And, yeah, I think a lot of it should just bump them off.
Yeah, it's more humane than life inside a prison.
Well, if you're saying life in prison, you're basically saying that this person is irredeemable, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. They're going to be an animal. You're right. It probably would be better to put them down at that point. Rats in the IRC is saying it's because, you know, it's to make the victim's families feel better. You know, that's why they give these crazy sentences.
The only way a victim's family is going to feel any better is if they forgive the guy. I mean, that's fucking hard to do.
That's an argument better suited for better philosophers than me.
Oh, no doubt, man. I'm not even... That's all I could see. That's the only thing that's ever given me any fucking closure on fucking long-term beefs, you know what I mean? If it's personal, it can't be settled. But if it's business, it can be settled.
Yeah, I guess. I don't...
No, I recently had this conversation with a guy I know. He's like, what level is our relationship at? And I said, well, it's a business relationship. You're not my friend. And he got butthurt. He thought we were friends. I'm like, no, it's a business relationship. That's all it is. Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't...
This is where a lot of, like, you see the big, you know, internet dudes who do radio and shit like that, that have co-hosts and things like that. They start out as friends. And instead of treating it like a business, they fuck it all up because they think friendship and business can be the same thing. It's not.
It's one of the reasons why we agreed early on, there's no money in G15, and this ain't a business. This is us screaming at the
internet. Exactly. This is just fuck around, man.
Yeah.
In all things that you enter contracts or, you know, verbal agreements with buddies and stuff like that, be upfront and go, look, this is a business decision we're making. You know, if there's money involved, this is business, right? And when you want to talk about it, you go, look, let's talk business first, then we'll be friends after that. You know, squabble it out in the business conversation and then have your friendship element.
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember what it's. It's probably in tons of things, but I don't remember what I saw it in. But like I said, it's probably in all kinds of things. It's people are either your friends or they're your employees / coworkers. They're not. You know, you don't mix the two up.
One of the apprentices I had working here was telling his boss about this business idea, and his boss went, "Oh, I don't care." Walked away. He said, I don't know why he doesn't care about my dreams. I said, because he's your boss. He doesn't have to care. He only cares about is you showing up on time every day. You know, your dreams and fantasies have nothing to do with him.
A good boss won't hold you back from pursuing your dreams, especially if they're worth pursuing. A bad boss will, because they want to keep you where they are because you're worth more to them, making money, doing what they want rather than pursuing your own career goals or whatever. But a really, really shitty boss will let you go pursue your own stuff and won't warn you that, by the way, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
The best bosses I've had have always been the ones that have been enough to give you a bit of a hand of guidance, but at the same time weren't going to, cripple you.
Yeah.
In fact, we have a guy, I don't know how he still keeps getting put in these positions, but... everyone who's ever reported to him has either just become an absolute, depressed. It's like depressing to look at people who've reported to him. He has destroyed every team he's managed.
Yeah.
But he's good, he's good at interacting with managers and being real personable, so he manages to keep his position. But it's sad, and he wanted me to come work for him. I was like, nope. Nope. Not playing that game. It's like, I will work with your group, but no, I am not going to work. I'm not going to report to you. And it's like, I actually had that conversation with my current boss. It's like, how do I explain to him? I'm perfectly willing to work on the projects he wants to work on and work with his group, but I am not comfortable reporting to him. And she said, don't worry about it. And then I didn't have to worry about it. So that problem solved itself. But
anyway, I don't want to go to an American prison. And I don't want to go to a computer prison.
Yeah, those would be...
There's a lot less rape, but Jesus, it's stressful.
Psychedelic prison okay, though? Can we do the chemical alteration of time?
Gamer. LSD 24/7.
The movie Gamers. Anybody remember that one?
Yeah, yes. That's the one where you become an NPC.
Yeah. Let's see, to finish this off. To me, these questions about technology are interesting because they force us to rethink the truisms we currently hold about punishment. When we ask ourselves whether it's inhumane to inflict a certain technology on someone, we have to make sure it's not just the unfamiliarity that spooks us, Dr. Roche said. Is it really okay to lock somebody up for the best part of their life when they were for the best part of the only life they will ever have, or might it be more humane to tinker with their brains and set them free? When we ask the question, go ahead, BSV.
I'm pretty sure if you sped up their brain so they experienced 1,000 years, their brain's gonna either be broken or just quit.
Well, they're certainly not going to be the same person at the end of that experience.
And that's the idea.
This 1,000-year gap, is this 1,000 years of them just experiencing nothing? Because if they're tweaking your perception of time, then let's say I wanted to, I don't know, read all the great works of literature. The reading the on that first page may take a while.
Well, okay, think about it like this. They have a drug that makes you perceive time at whatever the rate was so that, like, a day is 1,000 years, right? And then it's done, and, you know, there's no ill health effects. You just spent a day sitting in a prison cell, right? Well, from your perspective, you spent 1,000 years sitting in a prison cell and not eating, probably not able to interact with anybody, probably not having anything but being able to sit and stare at the wall, maybe move around a little bit, but, I mean,
we're going to be turning people into potatoes.
Yeah.
But we've tried this prison system before. Hell's Island, prisoners were not permitted to speak. Because they weren't permitted to speak, no one heard a human voice. They were pretty much in lockdown, so they didn't even really see people. They went crazy. Humans need contact and stimulation. So if all we're going to be able to do is stretch out your perception of time, we're not rehabilitating anyone. We're either turning them into catatonic potatoes or animals.
Wasn't there an episode of Deep Space Nine where they did that? They just uploaded a prison sentence into somebody's brain?
Yes. The chief. Miles.
Yeah, because they showed him back home and doing all the prison habits, and he had only been gone like a day.
Yeah, he'd only been gone a few days. Now, if you could do that, I could see that replacing a prison sentence. Because then you're either, if you believe in rehabilitation, uploaded them into an area where they can work out whatever psychological problems led them to that life of crime. They then have time to learn a trade or a skill. And then you dump them out, and it's only been a couple of days. But for them, it's been 30 years of therapy and learning shit.
Again,
or if you want to be the psychotic bastard, 30 years of them being set on fire.
I was going to say, Madman, I want to commit a crime now, so I got 30 years to become a fucking master craftsman at something. That's encouraged me to commit a crime.
Oh, no, it won't, because if we have that technology, do you think we're going to waste it just on criminals? Think of how fast high school is going to go by.
Yeah,
think of
point.
How much it'll cost to get access to it, though.
Yeah. Probably not that much, at least eventually.
Well, it depends. Is it the drug that makes you experience 1,000 years, even though you're really just sitting in a room for eight hours? Or is it actually the uploading your brain into a computer and living 1,000 years?
Either one. I don't think it's going to cost that much. In less than a generation, cars were so expensive that the super rich played with them. They didn't even drive them around. To Henry Ford inventing the assembly line and the average man being able to afford a Model T. That was less than one generation. People think just because something is awesome, it's only going to be exclusive to super rich. That has never, ever, ever, ever happened in history. So why would it start with this? It's available to the super rich for maybe 20 years before everyone else. So my kids go to regular school. Their kids have access to this.
So
not a problem.
Anyways, let's yeah. I can think of all kinds of interesting uses for this, and not all of them are ethical. let's move on. Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is from Mashable, and it's a write-up with some interesting guidance. If you're going to fake paying attention with Zoom backgrounds, make it a looping video. So apparently with Zoom, you can set up pictures and video clips to display instead of your webcam. And this is a guide on how to set some of this stuff up in Zoom and how to make it a looping video clip rather than a still picture, so that when you're doing your work from home meetings on Zoom, it looks like you're actually paying attention rather than sitting there in your underwear and, you know, playing games on your iPhone or whatever.
I might actually use that here in a couple of days.
They use Zoom. We use WebEx, so it's not exactly the same. But this is where I'm like, okay, if you're going to take this idea, go for broke. Go get one of those avatar things on Steam that replaces you with a cartoon character. I mean... But there's a few other links on this page, like how to keep your Slack status active when you're working from home, things like that. So I can see a lot of people enjoying this article, if nothing else, just for, I mean, one, you might really be on some of these product calls where some vendor is trying to show you and convince you to buy their shit, and you really are just sitting there playing games on your phone going, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh, I've done that more than a few times. Yeah, you know, hey, I'll just leave that up to your discretion as whether the meeting is worth paying attention to or not. But yeah, knowing a few tricks to make it look like you're paying attention with a video clip when you're really not, just don't get caught doing that, because I could see that ending poorly. And then finally, the last thing I have for you in Digital Dojo is, again, this is something to help deal with the, let's pick one here, the Shanghai shivers, or more accurately, the panic caused by the great sneeze forward. And that would be the howmuchtoiletpaper.com calculator. So this this website is got a simple mode and an advanced mode, where you tell it how many rolls of toilet paper you have archived, hoarded, and how many times you go to the toilet per day. And it will tell you how long, on average, your toilet paper is going to last you. So just for me, I happen to have a 12-pack that I did pick up last weekend because I was on my last roll and I needed to pick some up. So put in 12 rolls. Toilet visits for day, it's got 3 in there. That's a touch high, but that's okay. We'll let that average out. And it says I'm going to be good for 64 days. So I don't need to buy any more toilet paper. But you can go into the advanced options. Average numbers of wipes per trip. The number of sheets you use per wipe. So, you know, you can get downright scientific with this shit. How many sheets you have on the roll. Maybe you buy a brand that's got more or less than the average. This thing, you know, defaults to 160. I don't know how many sheets are on a roll of toilet paper. I honestly haven't paid that much attention before. How many people are in your household? Set that correctly. And the number of days you intend to quarantine. So you can rework this math to see how much toilet paper you need to hoard and how often you're going to need to go raid your neighbor's homes for toilet paper, you know, especially when the apocalypse hits. The maximum DPView has already figured out that you can put in a maximum of 40 toilet visits per day. you might want to lay off the fiber at that point.
What I've got, crapping twice a day, I should last 576 days.
Damn, dude.
I bought the 72 roll equivalent package of toilet paper.
So,
got the smaller cardboard cores, double rolls. I don't remember, prior to this time, I don't remember the last time I bought shit tickets. Same thing with the laundry detergent. I buy like the 500 loads. I'm a single dude.
It takes me 2 weeks to develop a load of laundry.
Dude, well, I'm married. I've never bought toilet paper. I have no idea where my underwear comes from. And socks just magically appear. I've lost all functionality on how to source these things. The toothpaste just magically comes back in. I don't know how it's done. It's like there's a fucking wizard in my house.
So anybody you know who is hoarding toilet paper and other supplies for the corona, for the new yellow peril, send them this link and then follow our use advice. So. Anyways, that's all I have for tonight. Always listen to the stream, or listen to the stream we're always working on. Peer Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC. In the IRC tonight, we have myself, Sardonyx, Sardonyx's bot, Psychros, twice for some reason, DP View, Haratz, and the Madman. Madman, closing thoughts.
Bourbon is better than rye whiskey. Yes. I need to buy bourbon.
Yeah, I might make that. I probably need to do that next couple of days, too, because I had to go for the Irish whiskey tonight, because it's like, all I have is either the expensive bourbon or a little bit of the cheap stuff. So might need to go stock up myself. Are you? Closing thoughts.
Just remember, only you can prevent the woohoo flu.
Social distancing.
My lifestyle, man. Fuck off. Just because you name it doesn't mean I...
All right, BSV, closing thoughts.
Remember to practice safe social distancing. Always carry a 6-foot pole to hit anybody that gets close enough to you.
And wear your nitrile gloves when handling the pole. And occasionally scrub it down with soap and water. For 20
of course,
seconds.
You don't want that blood get.
All right, that's all I've got. I'm going to start hitting sound effects now.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.